Amen. Good morning, church. Man, we got some people here today. I like it. Yeah. No place I'd rather be. Even though it is nerve-wracking being up here on a Sunday morning. But it's not about me. It's all about God. It's all about glorifying God. And my prayer for us this morning is that we grow closer to God through His Word as it is written and in relationship with Him. So again, my name is DJ. I'm a deacon at this church, as Keith had mentioned. lead the men's ministry, a group called MAC, Men Accountable to Christ, which we started about 5.5 years ago. And like Keith mentioned, we're in Luke, and I get to serve with great brothers in the men's ministry. I would name everybody, but I know I'll forget one or two, and I don't want to be that guy this morning. So the men's council that I get to serve with is just a true blessing. You know, I'm the director of the men's ministry, but it's all of our ministry. This is God's house, right? But that group has specifically just leveled up my fellowship with God, because we're rooted in the Word of God. We teach and preach verse by verse, and we keep each other accountable, which is what it's all about. And so this morning, before we get started in the message, let me go ahead and pray us in. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Lord, for this morning and this opportunity just to get into your Holy Scriptures. Thank you for that worship this morning. Thank you that we had our hands raised as we exalt thee, which is you, Lord. It's all about you, Lord. I pray that I decrease. I pray that you increase, because, Lord God, you're the one that gives the increase. And so as we walk through this message today, Lord, help me to preach and teach as it is written, so that we can understand it and we can apply it to our life. And Lord, I just thank you for this body. I thank you for this group that's here right now, Lord God. As we sit under you, Jesus, we thank you for our salvation. I know there's things going on in our life right now, Lord, that are tough, that are difficult. But Lord, you are faithful. If you be for us, then who shall be against us? If we don't take anything with us at all today, Lord, we hold on to that. If you be for us, then who shall be against us, Lord? And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. And that prayer is powerful. As I was praying for people at the altar, that kept coming up. The Holy Spirit just kept saying it, If ye be for me, then who shall be against me? And I think sometimes when we're struggling and we're going through tough times, we forget that. We don't fight from a place of loss. We fight from a place of victory because of what Jesus did for us on that cross. Right? His life for our life. His life for my life. And I think sometimes we just, you know, we fight from a place of defeat. And that's not the truth. We fight from a place of victory. So I don't know who that's for, but for somebody in here, maybe just me. So a couple things. Last time that I was able to preach, we were in chapter 5. My big takeaway from everyone, in case you don't remember, was being all in. Right? I shared one foot in, one foot out. I said, church, we need to be all in. Amen? That was what it was about. Being all in with Christ. The authority of the Son. All in with Jesus. Pastor Chris has been teaching throughout John. I love the get up on that cross. That was... I loved it. Now, what did it mean? That means DJ has to die. My pride, my ego, my wants, my needs, they have to die. They have to get up on that cross and be crucified. Because it's not about me, it's all about him. And that's what Pastor Chris was speaking on, right? And so today I'm going to leave you with some nuggets, some takeaways. But at the end of the day, if it's two words, it's this. Be obedient. Be obedient. Right? The title of my message is Walk in Obedience. But as I was praying and rereading this till last night around midnight with my wife, the common theme was be obedient. That's what it's about. And we'll dig into it. And so we're in John chapter 7. We're going to start at verse 14, but a quick little recap on the first 13 verses for you guys. I know everyone's already studied up. I know all of you have read the entire book and you are prepared this morning. So for 1 through 13, right? Jesus is facing major opposition. He's facing major opposition with the religious leaders, right, at this time. The religious leaders at this time want him dead because of everything that he's about, right? His own brothers don't even believe in him. They're like, wait, like what? The Messiah? No way. We grew up with you. You know what I mean? Even his own family. The crowds are divided on who he really is. We see that amongst the Jews and the Jewish leaders. They're divided amongst who Jesus really is. Is he really the Messiah? He's performing these miracles. He preaches and teaches with an authority that we've never seen, right? And that's what the people are observing. But even the Jewish leaders, which we'll get into it, are using that as judgment. Who is he? Who's his rabbi, right? Judging the outward appearance. Who is he to heal on the Sabbath, right? Which we'll dig into that. He refuses to act according to others' timing. Because we read in those beginning verses where it said, his brother to go perform a miracle. Go do what you do. And he refuses to obey their timing. Why? Because he obeys the Father. Him and the Father are in perfect will of one another. Total alignment. Does that make sense? Right? Everything he does, complete alignment with the Father. And so today's text, we're going to be in John chapter 7, verse 14 through 24. I do have quite a bit text this morning, so we'll see how that goes. Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24. Then we're going to dip into Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. Bless you. And then we're going to close it in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. And here's the message. Walk in obedience. Be obedient. It, just to simplify it. If we don't take away anything else from this message this morning, Pastor Chris comes back. He says, how did DJ do? Tell him terrible, but say, my takeaway was this. To be obedient. Amen? Okay, so that way I know I did something. If I just do that, then my mission's been accomplished this morning. And so there's going to be three main points that we're going to discuss and break down. And if you take down little notes or something, this would kind of be under be obedient, walk in obedience. Number one is don't just know God's word, but do God's word. Don't just know the word of God. Be doers of the word of God. Because that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what separates Christian cheerleaders versus Christian warriors. Does that make sense? Right? And we don't want to be just a church of just Christian cheerleaders. We want to be a church of Christian warriors. And so that's why. Don't just know God's word, do God's word. And the Christian cheerleader just came to me right now. So that was nothing against cheerleaders, if that's your get down. Number two, choose relationship over religion. Choose relationship over religion, right? Because with Jesus Christ, it's a relationship. We fellowship with God. We do life with God. We do life with Jesus everywhere. You go to work, take Jesus with you, literally, like that. Because then now you're talking to him. You're fellowshipping with him. You need to make a decision in your life, go to him first. What I've been guilty of is I'll go to God first. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm about to do this, 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 and this. What do you think? One, two, three. Okay, right? That, and I'm just being honest. God has convicted me on that. He's like, dude, you're in such a hurry. Are you going to slow down and actually allow me to speak to you and sit quietly? And it was it's an ongoing thing because I'm always just go, go, go. So choose relationship over religion. And we see that at this time with the Jewish leaders. They're all about religion, maintaining not just the law, but everything else that they've added to it so that they look holier than thou. Right? And this is not about religion. It's about relationship. because he loves us. And also, I put it like this. If you are in deep relationship with somebody who you love with your whole heart, and they love you with their whole heart, won't you do anything for them? If it's a parent to a child, or if it's us to our parent, hopefully if we have a good relationship with them or not, right? I get trauma and damage and all that. But somebody you're in a true relationship with, built off love, you'll do anything for them. So choose relationship over religion. And then number three is put on the armor every day. So I added this to the message because it's applicable for today, right? And it's something that I do every single morning. And I put / morning routine, because I think nowadays you see all these morning routines. Sit in a cold plunge, go die in a sauna, all this weird stuff. And it's like, we are going to talk about a spiritual morning routine, because that's what needs to be preached. Right? So we'll dip into that as well. Amen? You guys with me? All right. All right. Good stuff. I'm excited. So we're going to pick up the text, John chapter 7. Verse 14 through 24, and I'm going to read from the NIV. You guys there with me?
Yes.
All right. Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach. The Jews there were amazed and asked, "How did this man get such learning without having been taught?" Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me. Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. Whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me?" "You are demon-possessed," the crowd answered. "Who is trying to kill you?" Jesus said to them, "I did one miracle, and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but from the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath, so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly." So we're going to camp there, and I'm going to go verse by verse just so we can break it down, right? So in verse 14, which read, "Not until halfway through the festival did Jesus go up to the temple courts and begin to teach." So halfway through the festival, the crowds would have been at a max, right? And this festival, they would typically set up tents and be there for around a week's time. So halfway through is a complete max of people that are there, right? We're dealing with Jewish leaders and Jews in the crowds, like we're talking about, for the most part, that are there. Verse 15, "The Jews there were amazed and asked, 'How did this man get such learning without having been taught?'" Again, at that time, the Jewish leaders had a rabbi who would be teaching them that they sat under. That's what gave them the authority in the other Jewish leaders' eyes. Does that make sense? Right? And so that's why they're calling that out. Whose rabbi's teaching does this man sit under? Under whose authority is he teaching? Jesus lacked training from a rabbi, but his training came from the Father, both his teaching and his authority. Verse 16, Jesus answered, "My teaching is not my own. It comes from the one who sent me." All right? Jesus' rabbi, again, is the Father who sent him. You guys with me so far? All right. Verse 17, "Anyone who chooses to do the will of God will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own." And so, anyone who chooses to do the will of God. So any of these Jewish leaders, they have the Pentateuch, they have the Torah, they have, you know, it's the Old Testament. Anyone who chooses to do it, actually know the text and walk it out in their life, will know who sent me, is what Jesus is saying. Because they're actually being obedient to the word. And that was the biggest problem. Jesus is calling out their hypocrisy. That they're hypocrites. They're not being obedient. Right? Had they been obedient, they have the knowledge, but that's it. They can recite it to people, but it's not rooted in their heart that it changes the way that they act. And that's what he's confronting, and he's continually calling out. Verse 18, whoever speaks on their own does so to gain personal glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. And so as Jesus is preaching and teaching, who's he giving all the glory to? The Father, right? All the glory is to the Father. Everything that he is preaching and teaching is biblical. And that's why they're tripping, honestly. And that's why they're like, well, under whose authority are you teaching and preaching? Who taught you this? And he's trying to tell them, he's performed the miracles and everything that's taken place, which will continue to take place, but their hearts are so hardened that they just can't see it. Right? They know the word, but they're not applying it to their life and allowing it to transform their minds, their hearts, and their spirits. A person sincerely set on doing God's will welcomes Jesus' teachings and believes in him. So if we're truly set on doing the will of God, we welcome the teachings of the Holy Scriptures. We apply them to our life. Why? Because we believe them. We trust them. Right? And as I was putting together my notes, I wanted to talk about a quote that I'd read, a comment. It's by Augustine of Hippo. Don't know if you guys are familiar with who that is, but I'm going to tell you this morning. It was pretty cool. He was one of the most influential Christian teachers in church history. Yep. Oh, there it is right there. Boom. Okay. So understanding is the reward of, so this is what he said. Understanding is the reward of faith. Therefore, do not seek to understand in order to believe, but believe that you may understand. Powerful. Super powerful, because as I was reading this and as I prepare these sermons, it's the Holy Spirit that helps me. Thank you, Jesus, because I can't do it. But I wanted to share that because as me as a new believer, when I first came to this church, I got baptized in this church 13 years ago. So I first came here about 14 years ago, and I was, like I shared with you, one foot in, one foot out. I would hear the stories and I'd be like, I don't know about all that, right? That sounds good for you, but that's a little bit much. And that's how I felt. But it wasn't until I trusted the word, then I began to understand it. And that's what we're reading here. Trust it. Trust the word as it is written, and then you will receive the understanding. God gives the increase, right? And I've shared that with many people when they're first coming to Christ. It's like, hey, like, I'm interested, but I also have a lot of questions. And I'm like, hey, I'm not going to sell you Jesus. I'm also not going to beat you over the head with a Bible and say you're going to hell unless you accept Jesus right now. Because that message ain't saving anybody, in my opinion. Right? But what I will tell you is this. If you have a heart that's open, you have ears to hear and eyes to see, and you're just open to receive him, and you read his word, and you pray that the Holy Spirit increases your understanding so that you can apply it to your life. Watch what God does. And that's the message, right? We trust him at his word and he gives us the understanding. Does that make sense? Yes. Right? And that's a big, big takeaway, especially for those of us that maybe you're new in your walk. And I get it. I still feel like I'm new in my walk. Like we're all learning and growing together. But if you're here, that's a good sign. But two, if you're struggling with any doubt or worry or anxiety or like, is this really what they're saying it is? Do that. Get in the Word, study it, have an open heart to receive it, apply it to your life, and watch what God does. For most of my life, I just wasn't reading the Bible. I didn't actually start studying the Bible, like hardcore, until right before getting into ministry 5.5 years ago. My brother Keith and I were on the men's retreat talking about ministry and men's ministry. And I was like, I don't know, bro. Like, this is kind of gnarly. I don't want to do it. And he's like, no, you should do it. I got you. We're going to do it together. And it's not you, it's God. What am I going to say? No. Yeah. Judgment day. Remember when you said no? Like, I don't want to have that conversation. For real. But, you know, so like, it was at that time that I committed, okay, God, I'm going to read your word, even though every time I study it, I fall asleep. Right? Every time I start reading scripture, I'm yawning, I'm tired, I can barely make it through it. So Lord, help me to stay awake so I could understand your word and I can apply it to my life. And I went and got a Bible that I could understand, because the old King James was a little tough for me when I started. Thou and shall and all that just didn't work, right? I barely graduated high school. So then you want me to read that? No way. So I got the NLT Bible, New Living Translation. It's very simple to understand, plain English. And I started to read it and I understood it. And then I started to apply it to my life and God started to break some of those chains that were holding me back from serving him. And so I just want to encourage you with that. Whatever you're going through, get in the Word of God. Pray that the Holy Spirit reveals to you what the Holy Scriptures mean as they are written. Dig into the context. Who's the author? Who's it written to? Who's the audience? What's going on in that time? And then how can I take that information and apply it to today? Amen. I promise you it'll help you so much, because it truly changed my life. And when I was looking at Augustine of Hippo in that text right there, it was like, wow. That's so true. Trust, and then you will understand. But so many people, I need to understand God first before I believe in him. What? We'll never understand him. Are you kidding me? If we could understand him, we wouldn't have needed Jesus Christ for salvation, right? Just when you think you may have it understood, he'll change it on you, right? Why? Because that keeps us dependent upon him. If I could figure it out, I wouldn't have needed a savior. But I'm a sinner in need of a savior. And Jesus Christ is that savior for me and for all of you that believe Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior, and the Father rose him from the dead. The word teaches if you profess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and the Father rose him from the dead, you will be saved. Right? It's that simple. So again, that's why we focus on relationship and not religion, because none of us are qualified. Amen? Verse 14, John 7:14. Oh, wait. Yeah, that's where I was. Oh, no, that's not where I'm at. Sorry. I got lost. Thank you, Jesus. 7:19. All right. John chapter 7, verse 19. Has not Moses given you the law? Yet not one of you keeps the law. Why are you trying to kill me? So these Jews congratulated themselves on being the chosen recipients of the law. They were prideful about it. And Jesus just calls them out on it. The Pharisees spent their days trying to achieve holiness by keeping the meticulous rules they had added to God's law. So again, the Pharisees at this time, right? God's laws that are given, they add hundreds of laws to him. Tanksley always helps me out with this one. It's like 600 or something, right? They added thousands. 613 laws in the Bible. They added thousands. Take that in for a second. And they were their own man-made laws, right? And Jesus says, why are you trying to kill me? Didn't it say, thou shalt not commit murder? Right? Murder was certainly against the law. Trying to kill me, a striking example of their failure to keep the law. That's a perfect example of their failure to keep the law, which he's calling them out on. And so that's, we see that knowing the truth versus being obedient to the truth is two different things. Knowing the truth, but being obedient to the truth. Two different ball games right there. But again, that's where the rubber meets the road. And so think for yourselves. You know the truth and what you should do based on what God says, but do you actually do it? Right? We know the truth based off what God says, but do we actually do it? And I can give you a couple examples for me, because I think examples make it real, make it applicable for our life. So knowing the truth and what God says, but then actually applying it to my life. So an example for me and my wife is cursing, right? In Ephesians says, don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Okay, Lord, help me. As long as it's not mid-set in the heavy set at the gym, I'm okay. Sorry, Lord. But don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. So there it is, cursing. And so her and I created this accountability system, because that's the only way you can work through stuff. You have to be accountable. And nobody's around me as much as my beautiful wife, right? And so we said, if we're going to curse, we're going to do what? You have to spell out the word every time. Now that just took away all the joy of cursing, you know, every time. But again, know the word and apply it to my life. God says, don't let any foul words come out of my mouth. Also, he says, what comes out of the mouth reveals what's in the... Thank you. And so if we're Christians and we love Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you for my salvation. F this, F that, F that, F that. Like, come on. It just doesn't preach a good message for what we're trying to represent. I'm not saying that we're better than and you just can't curse because we're holier than thou. What I'm saying is we are called, we are created in the image of God. The Holy Spirit resides in us. What type of life, if we live that way, are we bringing glory to Him? And that's what it's about. You know, it's not about anything else. Another example is worry. Anybody in here ever struggle with worry? Right? Anyone? Am I the only one? Right? There's a few of us. There's three of us. Okay? Thank you, Jesus. Right? But worry's another one. So what's a good verse for worry? Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not seek your own understanding. Seek His will in all you do, and I will show you which path to take. What were the key words in the beginning of that verse? Trust in the Lord. So when I'm worried, and I get it, I get worried. You know, like when, with a business that we started recently, like, you know, a couple of months back, I was super worried, super nervous. Big financial commitments. If it goes wrong, it goes really wrong, you know, where we could lose everything, you know, but it's all God's. And so I started to worry, and then I prayed and meditated on that verse over and over and over. Trust in the Lord. And what I learned, what God revealed to me in that prayer and meditation on that scripture is that worry and trust can't coexist. You cannot trust God, but then worry at the same time. Amen. It doesn't make sense, right? You cannot trust the Lord with all of your heart. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself, right? You cannot love Him like that and trust Him like that if you live in worry. And then anger was another one. Knowing what the Bible says about anger, but then actually being obedient to it. Two different ball games. And in Ephesians, it tells us to do not sin in your anger. Right? You'll give the enemy, it said, do not go to sleep angry. Give the enemy a foothold in your life. So how many of us sometimes struggle with anger? Every week, you know, and I'm not calling people out or saying you have to be this way or you have to be that way. I get it. Each one of these I talk to you about today, I'm still being refined. I'm still growing in it. God is still revealing me. And what that process is called is sanctification. That is the journey we're all on, is that chipping away of the old man as we become more Christ-like. And that's a process. So don't take it like, yeah, he told me, don't curse, don't worry, don't be angry. Later. You know? Like, I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is the Word of God teaches us. All of our solutions are in here. But through the application comes the transformation. If you want breakthrough in your life in cursing, apply the Word of God. If you want breakthrough in your life in worry, apply the Word of God. If you want breakthrough in your life of anger, apply the Word of God. I promise you that everything you feel or what you're going through, there's a verse in the Bible that you can meditate on. And you will have victory. Not because DJ said it, but because God said it. It's His Word, right? It's His Word. And we want to be a church that knows the Word, but more importantly, like this message, like I said to you, are doers of the Word. When you fall short, dust yourself off. We fall forward, get up, get back at it. If we wrong somebody, we fall short, we mess up, own it, and repent. Go the other direction. If you catch yourself going down a slippery path, maybe you struggle with anger, and you catch yourself on a 10 scale. One of my best friends, I talked to him about this, and it really resonated because this was me. If it's on a 10 scale and I'm going 1, 2, 3, then all of a sudden it's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, I need to shut it down before it gets to 6, 7, 8, right? I need to slow down and be like, okay, do not let the devil have a foothold in my life. Do not sin in your anger. Man, I wish somebody would have taught me that when I was young. If I could have learned anything in elementary school, junior high, high school, if it was just that, I would have saved myself a lot of handcuff visits. For real. Because every time I got in trouble when I was drinking in a blackout, it started because I was angry. Honestly, that wasn't in my notes. But I hope you guys get it. Right? That's why I share these things. I hope you guys get it. We're going to flip to Romans chapter 2, verses 17 through 24, because Jesus is calling out the Jewish leaders for being hypocrites. And so now here we're going to read a little bit from Paul. So we're going to pick it up. Romans chapter 2, verse 17 through 24. I love to hear Bible pages turning. That's rad. I know everybody's just on their phones with the apps, but I still like to, you know, still like to hear those pages. Now you, if you call yourself a Jew, if you rely on the law and boast in God, if you know His will and approve of what is superior because you are instructed by the law, if you are convinced that you are a guide for the blind, a light for those who are in the dark, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of little children, because you have in the law the embodiment of knowledge and truth. You, then who teach others, do you not teach yourself? Whew. You who preach against stealing, do you steal? You who say that people should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, do you dishonor God by breaking the law? As it is written, God's name is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. Whew, that's some heavy preaching right there. Thank you, Paul. And so what are we reading through that? What's the message? My words and my actions should align. But it all starts with my beliefs and what I trust in. If I believe in God and I trust in God, then my words and my actions should align. Does that make sense? Paul is calling out their hypocrisy of what they preach and teach versus what they actually do. And he's calling them out, right? And that message hit hard for me as a reminder. You know, coming up here, preaching a sermon on a Sunday in this church, like, I don't take this lightly. It's not like I just, you know, it's heavy. It's always super heavy on my heart, on my mind. And it's like, man, Lord, I can't do this. But you can, right? I put my hope and faith in you. But then now, what does it look like when I'm not here, standing behind this podium, preaching and teaching the word? Am I really walking it out in my home with my wife? Right? Am I? Paid her to say that? Just kidding. Am I really walking it out in my workplace? You know? Am I really walking it out in the church, in the ministry, with my brothers, sisters, people need prayer, calling, whatever it may be? That's what matters. What we do when no one's looking, honestly, is what matters the most. And again, it's not from this position of holier than thou. I'm trying to earn my salvation. Salvation is very simple, right? By grace, through faith in Jesus Christ. But because of that, when people look at my life, it should look different than the world. Because my life should point people to Jesus. Does that make sense? It's not like a works-based salvation, because I've heard that said when I share that with people. What is it? Works-based? No. It's pointing people to Jesus. And that's, Paul here is just calling them out. Heavy. And in our lives, we find it much easier to tell others how to behave than to behave ourselves. It's so true. We tell others how to behave, and then we don't behave ourselves. You know? It is 100% true. So we can work on it, right? We may know the right words to say, but we don't allow them to take root in our lives. And that's why at this church we believe in having the Word of God rooted in your heart. That's why we read the Word. That's why we study the Word. That's why we preach and teach the Word. Because if it's rooted in our heart, it'll come out in our lives. Ye shall know the truth. And what? The truth shall set you free. Thank you. And the truth will set you free. That's exactly it. And a side note that I wrote down was, a single action is worth more than 1,000 words. A single action is worth more than 1,000 words, meaning what I do matters most. I can preach and teach and recite, Old Testament here, and the patriarch, they're referring to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Did you know that? No, look how smart I am. Means nothing if I don't apply it to my life. Right? And that's what it's all about, is that application. We find it much easier. Oh, yeah, I said to tell others. So in religion focuses on appearances. Relationship produces character. Relationship produces integrity. And relationship produces obedience. And that's the big takeaway I want for you guys this morning, as it was for me. Relationship with Jesus produces character. My relationship with Jesus produces integrity. And my relationship with Jesus produces obedience. You know? And I think for me, like, as I've been preparing this message, there's been multiple times, like, just praying and meditating. I was meditating yesterday morning and I shared with the wife. And it was just breathing and spending, sitting at God's feet. And I just got, like, overwhelmed with emotion. Where it was like I got emotional just sitting with God in prayer and meditation. And that doesn't happen with me very often. To be honest with you, it hasn't happened in a little while because I've been so busy. And that's on me. But it was like, oh, yes. Abba, Father. Thank you. Thank you for my life. Thank you for my salvation. Thank you that my name is registered in heaven. I'm not tripping on this message. It's your message, Lord, right? That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. And integrity matters. You know, I think a lot of times integrity matters most with everything that we do. I was, a part of my life before I got rooted in the Word of God. I like made deals with myself, right? If integrity was on a pie chart, 10 slices of the pie, my integrity would be on 0.9 of those slices. But one of them was not, right? And I was doing counseling with a pastor, Pastor Joe here actually, and he was like, DJ, I don't get it. 9 of these things are just on point. You're a man of your word, of your actions and everything. But this one, you suck, you know? Like, and to be honest with you, I'm not going to keep talking to you about it. You're either going to change it or don't come back. I was like, dang. I thought you were a pastor. But again, God wants everything, the whole pie, every slice. And so whatever it is in your life on that pie, 10 pieces, whether it's 100%, right? You've given it to God and you're accountable to someone for something and all those things. But if there is one or two secrets you keep to yourself, I promise you it's going to impact you negatively. And it will hold you back from serving God and walking in what God has for you in your life. Verse 20, John 7:20. You are demon-possessed, the crowd answered. Who is trying to kill you? Most of the people were probably not aware of the plot to kill Jesus. Like we talked about, the religious leaders at that time and some of the Jews, not everyone knew about the plot to kill him. And so that's the crowd that answered that way. You are demon-possessed. Verse 21 through 24, Jesus said to them, I did one miracle and you are all amazed. Yet because Moses gave you circumcision, though actually it did not come from Moses, but the patriarchs, you circumcise a boy on the Sabbath. Now, if a boy can be circumcised on the Sabbath so that the law of Moses may not be broken, why are you angry with me for healing a man's whole body on the Sabbath? Stop judging me by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. And previous chapters, Jesus had healed the lame man in the pool of Bethesda. Remember? We're in chapter 5, and it was on the Sabbath, and that's what we're calling out in this section. And Jesus is saying, okay, so God gave the covenant agreement to Abraham for circumcision on day 8, which then he gave to Moses, and now if day 8 happens to fall on the Sabbath, you perform it anyway. So why are you attacking me for healing this man on the Sabbath? Does that make sense? Right? So I love that Jesus is using scripture to call them out. And I love that because they know the scripture, right? And he's calling them out based off what they know and where they're falling short. And stop judging by mere appearances, but instead judge correctly. Because they're judging him based off the appearances. Well, what are those appearances? Okay. One of the appearances is, who's your rabbi? Who's your teacher? Who gives you this authority to teach the way you're teaching? Another one is him healing people on the Sabbath. Right? They're judging him by these things. That's how hard their hearts are. So how can we walk in obedience? I'm gonna share this, and this was added just for me because this is something I do every day. And it's like if I do something in my own life and it helps me and I can share it with you and it's applicable for today, then let's do it, right? So how can we walk in obedience, put on the full armor of God, and mark your character with the fruit of the Spirit? Put on the full armor of God and mark your character with the fruit of the Spirit. So Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 17. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm. Then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to continue to build your character based on the fruit of the Spirit. And so what I do is in the morning, that section in Ephesians, I walk through the armor. That's like my defense. And then my offense is what? The sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. But walking through piece by piece and understanding, putting it on and which one represents and which piece means and how to walk that out. It gives us a defense throughout the day. Right? And next, and through this time when I personally do this, and I'm just sharing it with you because God has helped me through this again, I pray, I meditate, I try to take away all distractions except for Layla, who's tethered to me, but the wife's there with me. Layla's my dog, our dog. The only thing is a human, you know? Why is their daughter tethered to him? Oh, gosh. That's funny. And so I walk through the prayer and meditation and I walk through this process and it gives me that defense. And then I get into Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, which says, again from Paul, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. So how did I handle every situation today in my life? At the end of the night, I can walk through that. Did I operate with love? Did I operate with peace? Did I operate with joy? Was I patient? Did I exercise self-control? Was I kind, right? If I can use that as my measuring stick of how I treat others, it gives me more peace. Do we fall short? Absolutely. But again, we're setting the bar. That's what it's about. We're setting the bar and we're being intentional with God, letting him know I can't, you can, so help me. And that's what it's all about. And so that's the morning routine I wanted to share with you guys. First thing when you wake up, if you can, if you work graveyards and whatever time, just find a time that you can dedicate, that you can be accountable to. If it's 10 minutes, if it's 30, 45, whatever it is. It's not about the time, it's about the heart. It's about you taking time out from life and saying, time out, God, I'm going to come sit with you. I'm going to put on the full armor of God. I'm going to walk through the fruit of the Spirit, and I pray that you mark my character up with that today. Help me, Lord, to represent you well today in every conversation, in everything I go through, so that I bring you glory. Has nothing to do with us. And so the three takeaways today, again, one, don't just know God's word, do God's word. We don't live in a world lacking information. We live in a world lacking application. And so be doers of God's word. Choose relationship over religion. Choose relationship over religion. Spend time with God. Communicate with God. Fellowship with God. Talk to him. Don't just, you know, not like some holy prayers. Have real conversations with him. If you're going through a hard time, talk to God about it. He knows. He knows your heart. You're not going to surprise him. Wow, where'd that come from, DJ? Can't believe you feel that way. Won't happen. Choose relationship over religion. And then put on the armor every day. Morning routine. Make that part of the morning routine or some part of your day. Right? And I promise you, again, it's going to glorify God and it'll give you more peace in your life. Amen? And so we never want to close a service without giving you guys an opportunity. One, If you've never given your life to Christ, to give your life to Christ right now in this moment, because there's a stirring on your heart, somebody brought you to breakfast and you showed up at church, or if maybe there's a time that you want to rededicate your life to God. And so we're going to kind of give us an opportunity to, you know, bow our heads. I got deacons that are going to come up, including myself. We're all deacons, which we're here to serve the church. And we'll pray with you and pray for you. Remember this, it's not the prayer that offers you salvation. I just want to be like abundantly clear on that. But it's the intentionality of me raising my hand and saying, okay, Lord, I can't, you can help me. Right? And so with every head bowed, please, every eye shut, just we're going to take two deep breaths. Just inhale. Exhale. One more. Okay. So if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, and right now, this moment, you'd like to give your life to Jesus Christ for the first time, please raise your hand. If there's anyone here at all. Amen. I see your hands. Now, if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, you love him, you know he loves you, but you've kind of backslid, you fell off a little bit. That piece of the pie, there's a couple pieces that came to mind where you could rededicate to him, and you want to commit to his word today and rededicate your life and just focus on him, please raise your hand. That's you. Amen. And so church, with every eye closed, every head bowed, would you just repeat this prayer after me? Father God in heaven, thank you for your son Jesus. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. So I ask you, come into my life. Come into my heart and change me. I ask you, Holy Spirit, renew my mind, cleanse my heart, and purify my soul. I thank you, Jesus, for my salvation. I repent of my sins and I turn towards you. Today you are mine and I am yours. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, church. Thank you, thank you. Also, if you guys need prayer, we'll have some prayer warriors that are going to come up and we can pray for you, but let me pray us out. And if you raised your hand, we're going to connect. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father God, for this morning. Thank you, Lord God, for this day and everything that you're doing in this church. As we surrender everything to you, Lord, at your feet. Help us to be doers of the word, Lord God. Help us to focus on the relationship, the love, that agape love, that unconditional love, Lord God. Help us to put on the full armor every single day as a defense and an offense to help us fight the good fight so that we can hear those words. Job well done. And so, Lord God, as we leave today, I just lift up my brothers and sisters to you. Continue to lead them and guide them and direct them. And I just thank you for this time that we could honor and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.